Rat Dwarf, Season 5, Episode 3. Terraform.
This is your CPU speaking. There has been an accident. Both your legs have been crushed beyond repair. Your ambulatory system has been destroyed, and your life expectancy is currently estimated at 67 minutes. If there is any further news, we will keep you updated. In the meantime, here is a little music. Your auto repair systems are now able to restore visuals.
Crichton personal black box recording. Time, unknown. Location, unknown. Cause of accident, unknown. Should someone find this recording, perhaps it will shed light as to what happened here. My short-term memory has been erased. This, I ascribe to the proximity of the magnetic coils from Starbuck's rear engine. Secondly, due to the proximity of the magnetic coils, my short-term memory appears to have been erased. This, combined with the erasure of my short-term memory, has left me a little disoriented. Disoriented. 67 minutes. I'd better get out of here.
To his hand.
Of course. Can you hear me?
The hand squeaks a yes.
Okay, now find an ore sample pod. There should be plenty strewn around the crash site. Initiate the homing procedure and bring help, okay?
It squeaks again.
Good luck, boy.
On Red Dwarf, Lister approaches Holly.
Okay, I'm here. What's the beef?
We've got a visitor.
What?
A pod arrived about 20 minutes ago. Something was in it, but it's broken free.
Any ideas?
Well, I don't want to spread any panic or alarm.
What do you mean, you don't want to spread panic and alarm?
Well, you've always had this thing against tarantulas, haven't you?
Tarantulas?
I mean, you've never been overly fond of them as a species, have you?
Well, no.
And the prospect of waking up and finding one crawling over your clammy, naked, helpless body has always filled you with a kind of cold dread.
What are you trying to say to me, Carly?
I'm saying, it might not be your night. Look at this. This is the best shot the security cameras could get.
Where is it now?
We lost it.
What does Crichton think?
Crichton's off moon hopping with Rimmer. Radio links down. I'll keep trying.
Later on, Crichton's disembodied hand appears. It squeaks, but nobody notices as Cat meets up with Lister.
So what's happening? Hey, you okay? You look tense.
Help, something is crawling up my leg. I think it's a tarantula.
You're playing that dumb adventure game.
It's in my boxers. I think it's making a nest.
Well, by a pushing from Gandalf, the Master Wizard. That's what I usually do.
I'm serious.
It has an eye the size of a meatball.
Kill it.
How?
I can't think straight. I've got a tarantula with an eye the size of a meatball setting up home in my joy department. Help me.
I'm scared.
You're scared. How do you think I feel?
You haven't seen it.
The lower half of my body has gone numb.
That's probably for the best.
It's moving. Oh.
Crichton's hand speaks up finally.
Hello! Crichton is in danger! No time to explain! Follow!
Crichton is still lying immobile. Lister and the cat are with him.
Crichton man, take it easy. I'm going to get you out of there.
My legs, I can't feel them.
Yeah, they're trapped under this tension. I'm gonna have to cut you in two.
Begging your pardon, sir.
Lister is actually preparing to cut Crichton into bits.
Crichton, man, keep still. I'm trying to draw a line here. I don't want it to go all wonky. I'll keep as much of you as possible.
Sir, a couple of brief points. Firstly, you are not a qualified service engineer, and consequently sawing me in two will invalidate my guarantee. Secondly, I wouldn't trust you to open a can of sardines that was already open.
Crichton is alive. Not entirely whole to be sure, but he's at least still online.
Ooh, you're right. He really isn't dead. I owe you 20.
Crichton, are you okay?
I think so, sir.
There's a few bits and bobs left over. But it's always the same when you try a bit of do-it-yourself, isn't it?
Where's Mr. Rimmer?
We were just gonna ask you.
What happened?
Well, there are cats. I remember Mr. Rimmer spotted an S3 planet on the scope and wanted to claim it on behalf of the Space Corps. As usual, the ceremony consisted of planting the flag and singing all 23 stanzas of the Space Corps anthem. Then the planet started to erupt around us, which frankly came as something of a relief.
A moonquake?
Worse. It was as if the entire planet was reshaping, terraforming itself as we watched.
And then?
Well, then things got a bit sketchy. I remember an explosion and then blackness. And then, I remember Mr. Emmer screaming. I have an image of his face twisted in anguish. Threat. Absolutely mortified.
Did someone suggest he pick up the tag for lunch?
Something took him. Something awful.
Can we track him, Polly? Can you get a trace on his light beam?
Got him. Click and FF due south.
Suggest we continue the journey by land, sir. I'll lower the caterpillar tracks. I think I've just worked out what that missing circuit board is for, sir.
The troop are searching for Rimmer on the moon.
This is one weird place. Strange animal noises, unbearable stench, squelchy underfoot. It's just like your laundry basket at the end of the month.
Get anything?
My guess is this is a Psi Moon.
Psi Moon?
An artificial planetoid. It tunes into an individual's psyche and adapts its terrain to mimic his mental state. In this instance, I believe it reconfigured itself using Mr. Rimmer's subconscious as a template.
What are you saying to me, Crichton?
We are interlopers inside Mr. Rimmer's mind.
This sounds like a 12 change of underwear trick.
If this planet's Rimmer's mind, what is it that took him?
All his neuroses, all his personal demons will be incarnated here, made flesh.
Example?
Well, each person's mindscape is unique, but we could well encounter, say, Mr. Rimmer's lust. Personified as some kind of slobbering, rampaging beast.
Rimmer's lust monster?
Every individual's mental landscape is dominated by one drive. In some cases it might be ambition, in others, greed, envy or the desire to please. Whatever it is that took Mr. Rimmer, we can only pray that its intentions are benign.
Come on, he can't be in that much danger. I mean, he's a hologram.
Not here. Here he will have physical form until he leaves, and any danger he may be in will be very real indeed.
Rimmer is seemingly having a bit of a bad time of it.
Look, I don't know who you are or what you think you're doing, but I demand my right to a phone call. Yes, I thought that would stop you. I thought the threat of legal action would have you running for cover. Look, I'm trying to keep my temper, but you really are pushing your luck now, my laddie. Is this the British Embassy? Does it even look the remotest bit like the British Embassy? I want to know who you are and what I'm doing here, and I want to know now.
In accordance with the appetites of the Dark One, malicious ruler of this domain, we, the Holy Legions, per offer up this sacrifice to slake the vile, depraved thirstings of the Unspeakable One.
Well, that's cleared that up. Thank God! Thank God! There was some very, very strange men running around in black hoods with drums and rather unconvincing red eyes. But thank God you're here. You know, I actually thought I was in the most awful danger. Is it me, or has it suddenly got rather hot in here?
Back to the troop.
What's happening? Why have we stopped?
I don't like the look of that swamp, sir. I don't think it'll support the bug. I suggest we continue the journey on foot.
You mean, go out there.
Out into Rimmer's subconscious?
According to the signal, we're almost on top of him. Shouldn't be more than 200 or 300 meters.
Remember, it's Rimmer's mind out there. Expect sickness.
Rimmer.
I'm a second technician in the Space Corps. I'm briefed to give you my name and number and nothing more. I don't know who you people are or what you think you're playing at, but I'm not going to give you anything else. You can owe me all you like. You can use your tongues and your full sensual lips to caress my erogenous zones onto a plateau of sexual ecstasy. But I'll tell you now, this nut's not for cracking. However, far be it from me to change your game plan. If you absolutely insist on using erotic persuasion to achieve your devious ends, then so be it. Just have a large quattroform geo pizza with extra olives ready at the end. Where are you going? What are you doing? My God! Are you going to take a flying leap?
We are going to summon the Master.
The Master?
You have been prepared for him.
This Master character, and I acknowledge I may not want to know the full answer to this one, but why does he want me oiling particularly? Obviously, whatever he has in mind is facilitated by my being slippery and pliant, yes.
He always likes his victims to be oiled. An oiled body is so much better for conducting the electricity.
Not the best news, but it could have been worse.
Outside.
Why I ever agreed to go for a stroll in Rimmer's psyche, I'll never know.
Terrific. This gets better and better.
Is it me, or are those rocks saying useless?
Hey, look at this. You've got a huge great blood-sucking leech on your neck. It's got a human face.
It's Rimmer's mom.
Sir. Come quickly, I think I've found a metaphor.
A what?
Look at all these gravestones.
Here lies self-respect, died age 24.
They're all aspects of Mr. Rimmer's personality which are dead. Generosity, died age 9. Self-confidence, taken from us, age 22.
Honor, gone but not forgotten. Died age 12.
Look at this one's minute.
Check this one. This one's freshly dug.
Who's it for? Oh, psychologically speaking, Mr. Rimmer may be in far bigger trouble than any of us ever suspected. If we don't get to him before this grave is filled, we may never get out of this nightmare.
Rimmer is meeting with the Grarky monster.
Grark!
Boy, am I glad to see you. You must be the unspeakable one.
Grark!
Just to fill you in, there's been a gigantic administrative cock-up. Some of your staff have somehow mistakenly took me for a virgin.
Stop your putrid whining, you dank tuft of rectal pubic hair.
Sorry. Yes, I do tend to jabber on a bit when I'm nervous. I've never been partial to physical torture. It's actually always been one of my worst nightmares. Actually.
Now, all your nightmares will come true here. All of them.
Lister and crew seem to have found a building of some sort.
There's gonna be some way in here. We should be right on top of him.
Grark.
Whatever that was, let's hope it's at lunch.
It's right, boss.
Back to Rimmer.
Who are you? Here. And why are you being so horrible to me?
It is you who created me, nurtured me, helped me grow strong. I am the part of you that hates yourself. I am your self-loathing.
My self-loathing?
Is it not true that you despise yourself? That you detest your own incompetence and stupidity? That you hold yourself in contempt for your countless failures and disappointments? Is it not true you feel nothing but the deepest, blackest rancor for that walking vomit stain the world calls Arnold Rimmer? Is this not true?
Oh, yes.
Look, we've got two choices. Either we go in there with bazookas blazing and try and somehow get him out of there, or we sit here like lemons and watch him get tortured.
Anybody got any opera glasses?
Set bazookas to kill stuffy mode. We're going in, Crichton.
The attack seemed to have no effect.
Is it my turn now?
Reload.
Sir, another round of bazooka fire could start a rock slide and bury us all.
Reload. You'd risk your lives for me.
Of course, you're part of the crew. Ark!
The monster suddenly disappears.
What happened?
Weird.
Where'd he go?
There's an old android saying, which I believe is peculiarly appropriate here. In binary language it goes something like this, 00110011100110011110011110011110011100. Which roughly translated means don't stand around chattering while you're in mortal danger.
Which way?
Well, we go right at the swamp of despair, straight past the wood of humiliation and then hard left at the chasm of hopelessness.
You're a weird guy, you know that.
Later, the rest of the group are staring at Rimmer.
Why are you all looking at me like that? Like as if this is all my fault. Have you any idea what kind of day I've had? I've been kidnapped, stripped, oiled, menaced, manacled, licked, nippled, chained, tortured, humiliated. And I nearly had an oddly thing the size and shape of a Mexican egg of cactus jammed up where only customs men dare to probe.
Don't you know what this place is?
Yes. It's a hellhole, it's a nightmare, it's a stinking infested pit of putridness.
Rimmer, it's your mind.
He's right, sir. This is a simoon. Its terrain was landscaped by your psyche.
So what are you saying to me? That thing. That beast that lives inside my mind.
Metaphorically, yes, sir.
Self-loathing. I don't loathe myself. What is there one could possibly loathe about me?
Would you like the list, sir?
What list?
Well, there's the fact that you were despised by your parents for failing to achieve the standards, the fact that your three brothers were all such high flyers in the Space Corps, and you ended up servicing chicken soup machines. There's you, your inability to form long-term relationships with anyone, your cowardliness, your lack of charm, honor or grace, and the awful knowledge that throughout your entire life, no one has ever truly liked you, because you are so fundamentally unlikable.
Oh, that!
Please don't interrupt, sir, I'm only halfway through my list. Now, where was I?
I think he's got the point, Crichton.
God, I'm such a mess!
What was that?
Trouble. We've hit quicksand, we're being sucked down.
Hit the retros.
We can't get any lift, but they're keeping us stable. 10 minutes while they burn out.
Okay.
I say let's get into the jet-powered rocket pants and Junior Birdman the hell out of here.
An excellent and inventive suggestion, sir, with just two tiny drawbacks. A, we don't have any jet-powered rocket pants, and B, there's no such thing as jet-powered rocket pants outside the fictional serial Robbie Rocket Pants.
Well, let's put a crimp on an otherwise damn fine plan.
Hang on. I'm getting a powerful energy emission.
It's Grarky again, surprise of surprises.
Hand over the worm, and your lives will be spared. My quarrel is not with you, it's with that excremental smear who cowers amongst you. If you attempt to shield him, then I shall unleash the full, terrible fury of my hooded hordes against you. You have 10 minutes.
Where are you going?
Where do you think I'm going? You heard him. If I don't hand myself over, he's going to throw everything he's got at Starbuck.
What? You're really gonna give yourself up?
No. I'm going down to the engine rooms to cower behind one of the boilers, and I suggest you all find ingenious places to cower behind too.
If you want my opinion, the only way anyone's going to get out of here alive is by working out some way of killing that thing.
But how? The bazookas were totally ineffectual against it. It's invulnerable.
We're finished.
Increase retros to max. Now stable.
Now wait a minute. This is all your fault, you know, you little glob of tuberculotic sputum. Interesting. Ha! Sir, you are a cruddy little scutball with all the innate lovability of an Ishiveruka. Excellent. Mr. Lister. Cat. Confabulation in the cockpit.
The rumor.
Not you, sir. Sirs, I think I have it. The real enemy is not out there, it is in Starbuck with us. The real enemy is inside Mr. Rimmer's head.
Nice plan. So, we remove his head and everything's cool, right?
Wait a minute. That's gone right up my flank, oh, that has Crichton. I'm saluting that one.
What?
When we first drove back the beast in the cavern, it wasn't the bazookoid fire that forced him into the pit, it was when you told Rimmer we wouldn't desert him.
Precisely.
So if we can make Rimmer feel wanted, feel cared about.
If we can make him feel good about himself, somehow restore his self-esteem and his pride, that would automatically vanquish the self-loathing beast, or at least debilitate it long enough for us to break free of this quicksand and get off this godforsaken simoon.
How do we make him feel good?
What is there about him to feel good about?
We've gotta tell him we love him.
Arg! You're sick. I want no part of this depravity.
And he must not suspect we are insincere. Our lives depend on it. Ready?
I'll never be ready.
Listen, we've been talking, and the three of us have decided to stay with you and face the danger. All for one and that, you know.
Really?
Sir, I'd just like to take this opportunity to say that you are a very beautiful person.
What he means is that we're all facing certain death here, and I think it's about time we let each other know exactly how we feel about each other.
You think that's a good idea?
It's just that guys generally aren't terrific at, you know,
expressing their feelings.
Yeah, they kid around and insult each other and stuff. When what they really mean is, well, they can't say the stuff they really mean.
What are you trying to tell me?
I'm just trying to say that whatever happens here, I want you to know I really care about you.
We all do, sir.
It's true. They really do care about you.
Only this morning you referred to me as a cancerous polyp on the anus of humanity.
In an affectionate way. In a kid around, joking, friendly, affectionate way.
Sir, what he's trying to say is we may never get another opportunity to articulate our feelings, and I for one would just like to take this opportunity to say that you are a splendid man, and a much respected colleague, and a, gosh darn it, damn good friend.
We're getting some lift.
Wait a minute, I know why you're doing this.
Going down.
You're trying to make me feel guilty, aren't you? It's a transparent attempt to shame me into doing the honorable thing.
No. What do you mean? No. It's just...
Well, why is it then?
Our number's up here, and I don't want to go out without setting the record straight. It's not easy saying this, one man to another, but I love you, man. I really, really love you.
Going up.
I think it might be a good idea at this time if we try and get into a kind of four-way hug situation.
What's wrong with you?
I don't think people touch enough, sir. I think people should touch more.
I love you, Arnie. This is a beautiful man, a big man.
This is a beautiful moment, isn't it?
You're a big man. We love you, AJ.
Quick, get in the cockpit. There's something very strange happening out there.
Charge my hordes of darkness. Bring me the head of the despicable one.
Rimmer's internal emotions and feelings begin to wage war. Honor says, have at you, bitterness. Take that, self-doubt. Respect chimes in with, die like the dog you are, mistrust. Honor continues, feel my blade, loneliness. May your foulness rot in hell. Back on Starbuck.
We're getting some lift.
20 meters, that's enough for liftoff.
We're almost clear.
Later.
It was all baloney, wasn't it? What was? All that talking stuff back there. It was just a way of escaping, wasn't it? I mean, you didn't really feel that, deep down. I'm an okay sort of bloke, that I'm not such a bad old stick once you get to know me. You didn't really mean any of that, did you?
No.
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 The end.